Hello, Swamp Fox family, and welcome to the August Drill edition of Fox Chatter. I am Colonel Nightmare Blevins, and today we are going to be talking about a range of different topics. For starters, I'm going to go over a myriad of things that this wing has and is currently doing quite literally all over the globe. Next, we will talk about future events and my continued priorities for the wing. And finally, we'll wrap it up with a few scattered topics covering items that are pertinent to you as a member of the Swamp Fox family that you may have heard about and have questions about. So let's dive right in. I will admit to you that our wing is currently going at full speed and has been for a while. There are lots of platitudes you can use for this, but I do feel like we are juggling chainsaws right now and have lots of irons in the fire. The mass leave portion of summer is starting to wind down as those of us with children are only a few weeks away from school starting back up. But despite what is usually a summer respite for our folks, our wing has been involved in events quite literally spanning the entire world. So buckle up, hold on to your britches as I rattle off some of the things our wing has been involved in. We've had over 40 packs go down to the Savannah CRTC for AEW 27.2 prep. CE, as well as emergency management, has been at Kunsan and both Osan, Korea, doing C2 op sites visits and CAT, EOC, and WOC training. CE plus public affairs and COM and the FSS has been in Anchorage, Alaska, doing deployment for training and refurbishing Army rec facilities. We've had firefighters and PA over at Spangdahlem, Germany, doing deployment training. We've had the FSS involved in Silver Flag out at Dobbins Air Force Base in Georgia and doing important AEW prep, of which they will be sending people into the AEW for 27.2. Finance has been involved in annual training in DC at the Readiness Center, and they've also been involved in Diamond Saber joint training. A few other things. In May, we hosted Fox Ember exercise for emergency management folks. We had over 14 different wings come out here for 2 weeks. And in June, our airfield hosted an airfield damage repair exercise that is the largest ever conducted in the Department of War's history. Security forces had a rough deployment down to the Bahamas with the Rhode Island Air National Guard. And they also went down to Colombia where they did jungle warfare assessment. Security Forces has also sent folks over to the Basic Detective Course, the Active Defense Patrol Course, and the Combat Leaders Course. The FSS sent folks to the Mortuary Affairs Course in Dover Air Force Base, and our chaplains deployed to Dignified Transfer Course at Dover as well. Some future events include the annual training we're doing with the Charlotte, North Carolina Air National Guard. We're doing some staff-assisted visits with our FSS. The LRS is going down to Colombia to do some expeditionary logistics. CE is doing regional training over in Baden, North Carolina, and some expeditionary training for the AEW prep. That's over 150 packs there. And Security Forces is doing a Desert Defender at Fort Bliss, Texas, for more pre-deployment training. And as recent as this week, our wing has significantly participated in the funeral events for the late Senator Lindsey Graham. I would like to publicly state that our thoughts and prayers go out to his family, friends, and coworkers as they continue to navigate these trying times. Some of you know that Senator Graham served in the U.S. Air Force, but did you know that he was a Swamp Fox right here at McIntyre, serving and walking our halls from 1989 to 1995, and retired as an 06 in 2015 with 33 years of service, and even was awarded a Bronze Star for his service on deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan for OEF. I'll be honest with you, I did not know that, but what I do know is that he was a staunch and avid supporter of not only South Carolina, but also of us here at McIntyre in this gang, and he will be sorely missed. Now, it should be noted that all of this has taken place as our airmen remain deployed in what I continue to call the most contested generation of combat air power since World War II, and what I believe will be generationally historic events for our Air Force. Please know that my number one priority for this wing continues to be taking care of the airmen who return from deployment and ensuring that they get any and all personal and professional help that they require. Closely behind that priority is ensuring that our future airmen coming up on deploying are as ready as they can possibly be. Readiness is absolutely at the forefront of what we are doing right now and will be the focus for Super Drill coming up in September. Let me try to tell you why readiness is such a big deal to me and not just some overused buzzword by leaders. Our deployed forces downrange continue to operate without a set date of when they will return. Just this past week, we had to rapidly deploy a member from our wing to go downrange with only a few days' notice. We all must be ready right now because I assure you there isn't enough time in those few days to pack and get adequately trained. We are also on the hook to send airmen out the door for AEW 27.2. 99% of those names have been identified and training continues to occur. But if your name is not on that list, but your AFSC is, you need to be ready to deploy mentally, physically, and spiritually. And we have to be ready to fill those spots. It is my job and the job of the group and squadron commanders to ensure everyone is as ready as possible for this fight. War for the modern airman is different than it has been in the past. Your training and both mental and physical resilience is absolutely imperative in order to prevail through the contested environment that our airmen are facing. And I have charged the unit commanders and unit training managers to develop and execute comprehensive training plans starting now and also over the September Super Drill. They know what each unit needs specifically, and I will not be micromanaging the training. I will tell you that I have asked them to leverage the real-world lessons learned from our airmen who have returned from deployment or are currently deployed. I will admit that in the past, when I go through this training, it has been hard for me to take it seriously. I openly admit that I approached it with an attitude of "this will never happen to me," or "we will never be in a combat situation like this." Folks, the airmen deployed are in that very situation right now, whether they thought it was possible or not. I need you to take the training seriously and provide inputs on what to do if you have them. There is no better way to take care of airmen than ensuring they are adequately trained and equipped to fight. Remember, you don't rise to the occasion, you fall to the level of your training. I am insanely proud of what you all have done at both home and abroad. And I continue to travel the country telling the stories of our great men and women here in the Skang. Thank you for what you continue to do here, and please come talk to me if there are things I can do to help you in any way. Okay, on to the last portion of the podcast. I'm going to just briefly cover a few things that you may have heard about or have questions about. First, the competition for the F-35 continues to progress. Next week, we will wrap up the portion of the evaluation from NGB where they give black and white quantitative scores to our unit. Major Hagemeyer and Colonel Doyle went up to DC with me to meet with them in person, and I just want to thank everyone for the hard work that has been put into this process so far. What happens next is that NGB will rack and stack the units based on the scores, and if we come out high enough, we will move to a stage where they physically come out to our base and do a site survey in the first quarter of the calendar year. I continue to be fully convicted that there is no other unit more ready and deserving of the F-35 than McIntyre, and we continue to fight for every single point in this process. Next, I've heard some rumblings of the Air Force directed waist-to-height ratio measurement, so Lieutenant Colonel Phillips will be on shortly to cover the specifics of that. But I want everyone to know that it is strictly a data collection effort right now, and it has no impact on your fitness score or assessment. Finally, I have heard rumors are spreading about the SecWar-directed testosterone testing for male service members over the age of 30 during their PHA. I can tell you that I have read the memo, and males over 30 will be screened for testosterone deficiency so as to focus on human performance optimization while directly optimizing warfighter readiness. That is all the information that we have on it now, and further specifics and guidance are set to come out on August 15. I will pass those details as soon as I have them.
Hey, Swamp Foxes. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Rachel Phillips, and I'm the Force Support Squadron Commander. So just to talk about the waist-to-height ratio a little bit, just to get everybody on the same page, what we're talking about is we're going to take the member's height. We're also going to record the weight and then we're going to do a waist measurement. So specifically with the waist to height ratio and the data that we're collecting right now, this is independent of your physical fitness readiness assessment. This is baseline data that we are trying to collect on every single airman by the 31st of August. Our goal is to really collect that from the DSGs over our drill time frame, and then we'll be working towards that goal for everyone. And then moving forward, when an airman does schedule their physical fitness readiness assessment, they will again have a waist to height ratio, and they will have that factored in to the other three components of the test. But the good news about the waist to height ratio is that it is not like the old Air Force test that when you took it, you had to have a certain waist measurement in order to pass the entire test. That's not the case. There are four different components, and for the waist to height ratio, it will be factored in. But what the airman really wants to focus on is their overall score, and they need to have above a 75% in order to pass. So it's not a pass or fail for the entire test, but it is simply a component that is factored into the overall score. So again, as the Air Force moves towards this model, we are focusing on the overall holistic view of fitness of our airmen and their health and their readiness. If airmen have any questions or if they're concerned, we do have folks that they can reach out to. In fact, our awesome fitness team is doing a great physical fitness readiness assessment class. That's going to be on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 07:30. And then on Wednesdays, they are offering a really great boot camp class. And that's going to also be Wednesdays at 07:30 a.m. So if people are just wanting to get in shape or maybe a little bit worried about the new assessment, we have some really good options. And then in addition to that, they can reach out to Master Sergeant Mark Hunter for some personalized options like personal training. Our fitness team is great and they're great to work with. So just a couple different options for people if they maybe want to practice or a little bit concerned about the new fitness test.
All right, folks, that is all that I have for now. Again, I want you to know that I recognize how busy everyone is. I am doing my best to shield us from unnecessary pain while still making sure we are ready to fight. I am proud of you, I am energized by you, and I look forward to seeing everyone at drill this weekend. If you see me, come say hi. If you have any feedback, suggestions, issues, or questions, please do not hesitate to ask. Semper Primus.